In Jesus' name, Christian friends, did you ever wish that you could take one of those popular songs that you really love and maybe rewrite it a little bit, maybe tweak a lyric here and there? It's a great song, great music, great performance, but suddenly here comes that lyric that just jars you because it violates what you believe. It violates who you are. I'll give you an example from my day, which is pretty far back. You can find some others from your generation, I'm sure. Anybody remember Perry Como? That goes way back. But back in the 50s, he came out with a beautiful love ballad named It's Impossible. Some of you remember it. Beautiful melody, lush orchestral background, lovely romantic thought about how it's impossible to imagine living without his love. But then near the end came this lyric. He sang, if you asked me for the world, somehow I'd get it. I would sell my very soul and not regret it. For to be without your love is just impossible. I would sell my very soul. Ooh, I wish he hadn't said that. It just clashes with all my values. And I'm sure you can supply examples from songs from your generation. Oh, you know, I love that song. I just wish I hadn't stuck in that lyric about eating roadkill or shooting that cop or God is dead or whatever it is you find in these songs these days. One of the most disappointing to me was the great John Lennon classic, Imagine. I know you've all heard that one. Great music, haunting melody line, good sound. Who can disagree with its theme of harmony and happiness and peace for everybody? But then comes that verse, you know it, imagine there's no heaven. And that's a jarring lyric for a Christian, because a believer in Jesus loves to think about heaven. And it's not just imagination. We know it's real because God tells us it is in scripture passages like the one before us here this morning. We've been hearing about saints all week in chapel. And somehow here when they get to this text about saints in heaven, they assign it to this old retired guy. Now, maybe it was a random assignment, but I can't help but wonder, maybe the chaplain was thinking, well, he's closer to heaven than anybody else here, so he should get this text. And that might be true. Maybe I am closer to heaven than most of you here, but only God knows. Here's the point I want to make from these verses of Scripture before us today. Believe that we are all close to heaven and live that way. These Bible verses are taken from the book of Revelation, where God is giving John the Apostle a glimpse of heaven. And to remind us all of what these two verses before us are about, let me read a few verses before and then a few verses after. It's from Revelation chapter 7. I'll read from verse 9 in the NIV version. And here's what we read. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And here are the verses before us. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation," it's where we live, "and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Wonderful vision. Some people who don't pay close attention have said that this picture of heaven sounds kind of boring, standing around holding palms and singing for all eternity. Well, remember, some people love to sing, and God promises that heaven is far more wonderful than here. So if you love to sing here, if you love music in any form here, in heaven music will be far more wonderful, more beautiful, and more fun. Everything will be far more wonderful there. Think of what you enjoy here as a Christian. It's going to be far more wonderful there. Do you enjoy nature? There's going to be a new earth, we're promised, more wonderful than this one, ruined by sin and human greed. Do you enjoy activities? You'll be more skillful in heaven. Do you enjoy learning? Way more knowledge in heaven. Do you enjoy relationships with friends? They'll be much richer in heaven, and especially your relationship with your Savior Jesus. Imperfections in you or in those you love, they'll be gone. With sin and all its effects removed, you will be restored to what God originally intended you to be. And is your enjoyment of things here dampened by the realization that, as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end? Not in heaven. It's great fun to explore and think about what Scripture says about heaven, but the verses before us address a key question for us now, and that is, how do we get there? And you know there are lots of ideas out there about how to get to heaven, and all of them are mistaken except this one. Some people, believe it or not, think that you can get to heaven by murdering people, by being a suicide bomber. They go to heaven. Terribly mistaken. Some people believe that everybody goes to heaven. Terribly mistaken. Some people believe that good people go to heaven, or at least people who try to be good. Terribly mistaken, because nobody can be good enough to measure up to God's requirement of perfection. The verses here before us in dramatic and powerful rhetorical fashion emphasize that there is one way and only one way. It says, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, when we read these verses or sing that great hymn that's a favorite of so many that we just sang, "Behold a Host," it's easy to think it's about those people over there, that bunch over there in those white robes. But it's not about that bunch over there. It's about this bunch right here. It's about you and me. When we read these verses and sing that hymn, it's easy to think it's about a big faceless mass of people, but it's not a faceless mass of people. It's individuals. It's that one lost sheep that the shepherd left the 99 and went and sought out and found. It's the ones that the Lord knows by name. It's you and I. You and I have been washed in Jesus' blood. Our sins were placed on Jesus' back on that cross, their penalty paid in full. It's yours and mine were the sins of the world that that Lamb of God took away. To you has been accredited the perfection of life in serving God that Jesus lived for us. It's to you that the Holy Spirit came in baptism and won you to faith. It's your faith that is strengthened every time the Spirit comes again and again to you in His Word and in the Holy Supper. By God's grace, you are one of those in John's vision of heaven, one of those who has washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so am I. The Apostle John's vision was in high def. He could have zoomed in and seen your face there and mine. Who is closer to heaven? We all are. Believe that. Consider yourself closer to heaven than you are to this world. And study here at Bethany how to live that way, closer to heaven than you are to this world, so that even now you can show that you are part of that throng, worshiping that Lamb around the throne, so that your entire life may become a song of praise to the Lamb upon the throne who gave His life for you and for me. Make it a song unmarred by any jarring lyrics. To God alone be the glory. Let our prayer be the final stanza of the hymn. Please rise.